The Draft Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com
and GH Graphics and their Junket Apparel line.
And Derby Ink Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Ink. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
I know you love watching that, though, don't you?
Never. We got Guy Raymond in studio tonight. Brian Tompkins also joining us here in studio. Welcome to episode number 49 already, if you can believe that. We're closing up quickly on our one-year anniversary, Brian.
It's been quite a ride.
It's been a strange and wild journey, hasn't it?
It's been quite a ride.
almost made it down to 1 year. It's pretty exciting. We're looking at it coming up. I think it's going to be something around the 20th of this month.
Well,
we're going to be.
I still remember you asking, "Hey, what do you think of doing this show? Just like talking about derbies." All right, I can talk. I don't know. We'll be all right.
And we've successfully managed to do that.
We got another
good episode on deck tonight. We're going to be catching up with Austin Martin, who won the full size division at the New York State Fair Championship on Labor Day. We're going to be talking with Guy Raymond a little bit about his run. He ended up fifth in the compact division. Jason Sherman, he ended up fourth. Another guy that's been a regular. We anticipate seeing him in action this weekend. Probably the cleanup show at Morris, scheduled for Saturday, 2 o'clock start time. The epic show of trucks or something like that, the Mud Bog program that they've got over at Weedsport. Jeremy Corcoran's promoting that. Brian Sipple's involved. There's also a derby there at Weedsport on Saturday. We're going to be down in Morris. It's regular Total Destruction rules, so you're gonna have the opportunity to see some wicked hard compacts. You're going to have tons of full-size cars there. I don't know if Jim Beatty's going to be showing up, but if he does, you're going to be glad he's there. And then they've got Imperials on the card too. So I mean, it's a real solid cleanup show, and it's going to be one that you don't want to miss that one.
I've been to a few demos in my life, and I don't think I've ever seen a car stand up on its tail like Jim did to that car.
He's good at that.
Of course, there wasn't anybody in the car at the time, and it wasn't running. But hey, it still looked really impressive.
It looked really good from the ground looking across.
Yeah.
I've never seen a guy turn a Monte Carlo into pogo stick quite the way Jim did.
Yeah, that was
but we'll also be catching up with Justin Edelman, who won one of the compact shows. You want that turned down?
Please.
There you go. How's that? A little better?
A little better, thanks.
How's that one better? Is that
okay? A little better?
Yeah.
A little better?
We're going to be talking with Justin Edelman here in just a few minutes about his run at the Yauga County Fairgrounds. In Ohio, he had a compact, and he ended up coming away with a win there. Got a couple of people that we want to make mention of. Dylan Swingle came away with his first win at Canastrega over the weekend in the youth division. Tabby Relier, she won one of the qualifying heats for the youth cars.
Third in the feature.
And finished third in the feature. And I think it was Mark Benjamin's.
Marcello.
I think Marcello was second in the feature.
I don't know.
I had the note there, and I forgot to write it down. I know they had a ton of youth cars over there. Brett Relier came away with the win in the full size divisions. So that was good for him. He needed to turn that around.
Yeah, because that was only the fourth one he's won this year, or fifth. And I think out of those, all of them have been in that car. That's the car he won with. He won with it in Pennsylvania. He won with it in Canastrega. He won with it in Waterloo, and I think he's won with it one other place.
Could be.
Yeah.
Probably
not a bad Mopar.
No, it's a Mopar, man. It's what they do.
Yeah.
And then Mad Mike DeFrisia came away with the win.
Yeah,
at Jamestown.
He got another one.
I was happy to see he got that. Another one. Went back to back, and he said he's already looking forward to 2015. So that's some bad news for everybody out there.
Yeah, because that's 13-14. He won that.
I think he doubled up. And I almost think I wasn't paying real close. I think he said it was the same car. just buff it out a little.
just pull it out of the weeds.
And so, by the way, I want to make mention of this. I mean. You play fantasy football at all?
No.
Okay. You don't play fantasy football, do you?
No, I don't.
No.
I watch football.
Watch football. You don't get involved with the nonsense?
Nope.
All right. Well, I play fantasy football, and I got a couple teams. I'm in a league with Jeremy Gulley,
mm-hmm.
and I'm on a league with Rich Post from Canandaigua Motorsports Park. The guys from Steeler Face Racing, which we see at Morris. We're probably going to see them this weekend. And I'm also in a league, Minifornia Football, which is Jill Lancaster and Chris Lancaster and some of those guys from out there. And and they make an active chat, not on Facebook and not by email, but actually text messages on your phone. So I looked at my phone at one point yesterday, and I had 77 missed text messages. Because during the football games, they sit with their phones in their hand. I don't know how they even keep track with the games that are going on. Because they're just sitting there just blasted away. Everybody that's in the league, and I was sitting there. And it was Thursday was kickoff, so it's your 31st lap at Finger Lakes 1. Thursday was kickoff, my phone starts going off like crazy. And John asked me, he goes, what's going on? I have no idea. And I look down, and it just says, missed message from a bunch of Minnesota area codes and Jim Lancaster's name. So I kind of followed it. So you'll probably see me get distracted at least 40 times through the course of this, because there's a doubleheader tonight, so we should have more conversation. But yeah, I thought that was fascinating. I've never seen that dynamic in fantasy football. But they appear to have a good time with it, and I am in prime position to finish somewhere around 9th out of a league of 10.
Good for you.
So that'll be fun. Nothing like doing it. I don't even know what kind of style that would be. That's awful style.
Yeah. Well, you know, that happens sometimes. Hey, somebody's got to be the track debris.
What I should have done is drafted some of the players on your team, because you guys came away with a win this weekend.
We did. Finally. Kids played hard. Got us a win. We
broke that losing streak.
We've been telling them all year.
So now 1-for-23.
We've been telling them all year, if you play hard, you'll win. And they played hard and played as a team, and they won. It was a good Sunday.
Who'd they play?
We played Red Jacket, which interestingly enough, I didn't realize it. A guy I went to school with, graduated a year ahead of me, he coached for Red Jacket.
Yeah.
So his son played against my son. It was pretty cool. One of the neat things that happened.
Did you guys get to reminisce?
We didn't. We shook hands and shared a hug at midfield, and then the kids went out and butted heads, and it was a good Sunday.
Joining us on the line now, we got Austin. I'm glad the team finally came with the win. I got to see one of your teams there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you were the bad luck, because that's the only game we lost last year.
That's fine. I'm not worried about it. I feel bad about it. I don't want it to happen again, but sometimes that kind of stuff happens.
It is. You're the dark cloud, Chris.
Wonderful. I like that. That's very nice of you. We got Austin on the line. Hey, man, appreciate you coming on. I'm trying to find your overlay as we talk here, so that everybody knows who you are. Congratulations on the win up there at the state fairgrounds.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You bet. Tell us a little bit about the run and what it was like out there. I mean, you guys were plenty busy out there in the feature. There was 40 some cars on the track at one time.
Yeah, this is my first time ever actually running in the state fair, and it was a lot. There's a lot of stuff going on. You had to really pay attention to what's going on and stuff. And it was. I've never really done anything that large with so many cars in there at one time. So it was a fun experience, something new, and thought it was pretty cool.
Your home track is Malone.
Yes. Right?
Now that track is a long, skinny track. There's a lot of room. I mean, we're talking 300 feet long, and you had 40 cars out there at the state fairgrounds, which that track makes Malone look small.
Well, I remember I was driving across the track, I don't know, probably 5-10 minutes in, and I was like, wow, is this ever going to end? That's all I could remember thinking. I was like, wow, this track never ends.
Yep, that's definitely...
Yep. I did notice that. It was pretty much like two separate derbies there for a lot of the time. I mean, everybody stuck to the ends, and you know, you would have a few people wander back and forth, but it was pretty much two separate ones there for a while.
What kind of car did you run, Austin?
Everybody. I had a 90s, early 90s Lincoln Town car. Nothing special.
Yeah.
I don't know. It came out of that Power Team shop. It had to be a little special.
Oh, no. It was. We actually weren't really going to run the state fair this year until about a week before, and there was three of us out of the shop that qualified, and we said, well, let's go down just because, you know, with Jamie and them haven't been down in a few years, so we said, why not, let's go.
Who's your third car?
Tom Pickering.
Tom.
He was a four-cylinder. He won the six-cylinder feature on Saturday night.
Yep. Yeah, Tom. Tom Pickering is the guy who counts on his fingers through the course of the feature number of cars that he rolls over. He's the guy up there in Malone who... he hit a car way down at the other end and just about flipped. This is in 2013. This is 2014. He did just as well. 2013, he flipped the car at one end, and as soon as they put the green flag back out after they righted everything that was wrong at the far end of the track, he put it in drive, went the length of the track, T-boned an Oldsmobile, twisted it so that the right rear tire was off the ground. That was after they put it back down on the ground because he parked it on its roof like at 30. It was Tom is a fun guy to watch.
Sounds it.
He is crazy. He's out there to tear crap up and don't care about anything.
That's cool.
Now, how tough is it to, I mean, you talked a little bit about how busy that track was and how big it was, and there was kind of two separate derbies going on. Do you stay real close with Jamie, or do you guys end up breaking off and going your separate ways?
We had a few other guys that we knew in the derby and stuff, so it wasn't like it was just us two out there.
Right.
But we, at the beginning, we kind of stayed together, and then probably, I don't know, like I said, 10, 15 minutes in, I went down to the other end, and then we just kind of were separated, and then we came back together at some point, but it wasn't really, I don't know, it wasn't really anything hard-hitting or anything.
No, it wasn't hitting at all.
No, a guy was down there as well. He ran in the compact division, ended up finishing fifth. I mean, you can relate to that feeling of that track going on forever and really not knowing what to watch next. I mean, how was the compact show?
The compact show this year, it was, honestly, to me, it didn't seem like it has been years past. More people were out there this year to win, you know. Like, usually you go to state fair and a lot of guys don't care. I didn't care this year, but it looked exactly like it showed, you know. You seen the big cars, even the little cars, they were all taking turns. I was surprised this second year in a row to come down to a big Lincoln or whatever and a front-wheel drive Lumina,
right,
the V8s. This is the second year in a row it came down to that. Him and Austin, that Lumina, they were battling for a while out there. It could have gone either way.
And Travis is no slouch when it comes to building Luminas either. I mean, what was going through your mind, Evan? Having seen so much of Travis running at home in Malone and knowing what kind of a car he can build, Austin, what were some of your thoughts on having to square off with him?
To be honest, when it came down to there's like four of us and I seen that he was left, I was like, I got to do something. I can't. I just figured that if it came down to both of us that he would end up beating me. He does very, very well with the Luminas, and he's tough to beat with them. To be honest. So when it came down to both of us, I was really, I wasn't really nervous, but it was definitely something I was worried about a little bit.
So did you get any advice from Jamie going out there? He's been to the state fair a couple different times here. Did he give you any advice on what to look out for, or has the game changed enough to a point where a lot of the experience and advice he might be able to give you just isn't going to apply anymore?
Yeah, well, he told me just to, he just use your head, and he said, "Make your hits, but don't do it. Don't be a hero."
Right.
You know, he told me not to do anything crazy, and he said, "Just let it." You'll see. He said, after the first 10-15 minutes, you'll see that people will start. You know, it starts to wean out, and then he's like, "Just do what you got to do." I guess.
And that's exactly what I seen at the end of that derby. You know, when it came down to him and that Lumina, you know, it come down to patience. That Lumina got a little impatient with his big car and went headlight to headlight with him, and he blew the radiator. And right. That's the worst thing in a compact you can do is lose your radiator.
Sure.
You know, he's sitting out there as soon as it got hot. He went headlight with his town car, or Lincoln, whatever that was. I seen it. And as soon as that radiator started pouring, he was done. That Lumina was done. You know?
You broke a tie rod early.
Real early. Probably like second hit in.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how it broke. Nobody really got me in the tire. You know, they got me in the driver's door a little bit, but nothing really in the tire. But it broke 2 minutes in. I ended up driving the whole 20, 25 minutes with a broken tie rod and got down to fifth. You know, and that's just because, like, as soon as it broke, I go, you know what? Maybe I'm driving too hard.
Right.
I had to slow down. So I slowed down, and yeah, it might have looked bad, but I still kept moving.
Sure.
You know, and that's what everybody was doing. Like I said already, most people this year in the contact division, last year we had 10 cars.
Mm-hmm.
This year there was 28 or 29 cars.
Right.
So the compact division next year, I'm thinking there's going to be 50 cars. You know, it's just, you had to slow down. You know, in the beginning, yeah, I went out with a ball of glory because I just wanted to kill a certain car, but I wanted to make sure of it, and I did that. So after that, everything else was just fun. You know, it was just trying to get down to 5, 6, whatever I can do. You know, it's
right.
Derby instinct, you know. I think the V8 was awesome too. That whole show, besides the two branches. He said there was one at the far end and one at the pit end. I was watching the one at the one side, and he was on the other end, so I had a long view to see, but I know it came down to that Lincoln and Lumina, and I'm sitting in my head going, that Lumina's going to beat that Lincoln. I knew it was going to, but as soon as that Lumina got impatient, it was over with, you know. He basically beat himself.
Right. Is it tough to stay patient out there, Austin?
Yeah, it's very much so, because, I mean, we're used to building, well, for Malone anyways, when I run there, you can do a lot more to your car, and if you get shots, you usually take them with right. the front of your car or whatever, you know. If you get a good shot on some of those tires or something, you usually take them, but there, you kind of just wanted to wait it out, and, yeah, I mean, I had many times where I wanted to just go, but I just thought to myself, you just be patient, wait. You get your time, just wait, and hopefully it all works out.
Where's the Lincoln now?
I have no idea. They take the car.
I was going to say parked in his backyard.
Nope.
Trophy that thing.
It's not at Austin's house.
Oh, no.
Nope.
That's the only show that JAM puts on where they take the top three cars.
It's the only one they do it at anymore, huh?
Yeah, the last one. Because they were talking about, I think it was Joker said that they run it down in North Carolina and they don't keep the cars there. And then somebody else chimed in from maybe Pennsylvania, said, yeah, they don't take the cars here. And then somebody from somewhere else said, yeah, they don't keep our cars.
I was talking with Al Crockett out in Massachusetts, and they've still got GM shows out there. And he thought it was unheard of. And yeah. I talked about he was happy for Austin, never having met him. But, you know, anytime somebody else can get a win, you know, he was happy. And he was real complimentary of Austin and his drive. And Al sort of follows what GM's doing in different parts of the country.
That might save State Fair.
And he doesn't drive. He just kind of keeps a tab on it. And I told him how Austin must have been, a 3-hour drive for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, it took us like 4.5 with traffic, but.
Oh, wow.
About a three-hour drive. It took us about an hour to go 5 miles at one point when we were getting close.
No thanks.
Wow, I'm good.
Jeez. Yeah. But I was telling Al, I said, he's got about a 3-hour drive down there, so you got 3 hours down, 3 hours back home, and you leave your car in the parking lot if you win. And Al's like, no way, I'm not even trailering up.
No, that's one thing. I mean, I've never understood that. I mean, I think originally it was, you know, to try to keep the professionals, for a better word,
right,
from coming. But and then they also had the rule where if you won the state fair twice, you couldn't run it anymore.
Right.
Because Dougie Snyder did that, and then he couldn't. They ended up changing the rule, or it went to dirt or something. Then Dougie came back up and was running. And
he ended up winning. He won it up there a bunch of times, didn't he?
I think he had 3 or 4. I think he won it 4, maybe, and I think Big Dan has won it 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
With some nasty, nasty Mopars. But, I mean, it just, you know, we were talking, and, you know, Austin, again, it's, you know, congratulations, but. I yearn for the old days of the state fair. Like, I was thinking on the way to the show tonight, because I knew we were going to talk to Austin, I can remember going up there for years to watch the Labor Day modified races.
Right.
And when you would leave, on the other side of 690, you would see all the cars, the Derby cars, pre-staged.
Right.
They'd park them out there. And you, I mean, you know, as a kid, a young kid, it was just Derby cars everywhere. And I mean, right. it was like looking at your Matchbox cars. I mean, there was, you know, between 60 and 80, 90 cars out there fresh, ready to go. That, you know, the feature cars. And, you know, I mean, you know, to get down to where there's only 40 cars on the track now for a feature, you know, it breaks my heart as a Derby guy. I mean, for a championship, for a state championship, I just like to, you know, I like to, the first year I ran, I think there was 72 fresh cars. And then the second year, I think there was like 76 or 78. And that was, I mean, the best old iron, you know, other than the wagons or the Imperials. I mean, it was all the best, you know, 70s old iron there was.
Right.
I mean, you would walk up and down the rows and just drool. It was, you know, it was a good Derby. And now it's, unfortunately, it's gone kind of downhill quickly.
Oh, we got to say hi to Josh Buell, by the way. He's listening in, presumably right now, because what else would he be doing on a Monday night other than holding his phone up to his ear and listening to the Crash Course Podcast live as he sits on the green monster in Boston.
Yeah. I was going to say, I seen him, you know, he said something about he got to Boston and the first song he's heard was by the Dropkick Murphys. So
yes.
It didn't get any better.
I remember the first song that I heard by those guys when I was in college, and I loved them. Austin, I mean, at home, you kind of mentioned it, that things are a little bit different in Syracuse and those rules that you've got versus what you've got at home, and you can do a few more things. That town car, if you can tilt it and do some cool things to it, that's a pretty viable option. But that's not necessarily the case for you at home. What are you still seeing back in Malone?
Well, actually, this year was a pretty down year for big cars for us. We the first night, I think there was what 10 8 cylinders in our. That's all we had the first night, and I think 7 or 8 of them came from our shop. So it was all my friends and everything that we ran with. And I mean, we all run, you know, the mid 70s GMs. So other than that, there wasn't really much. And in the years past, we always had, you know, there was a crew that ran the Chryslers, you know, all your New Yorkers and stuff like that. But other than that, we haven't. The big car count's really going down, and everything's going to like the 6-cylinders and all of them the last few years.
And this year really has been pretty good for the power team as a whole. Matt Zira won the Monday feature up there. You and Tom ended up winning the Saturday stuff up there. And
Jamie won the big car. Jamie won the 8-cylinder feature, and Matt took second in the 6-cylinder feature, I believe, Monday night.
And then you had Scott Cook finished real strong there. And then Jamie St. Mary turns around and goes down and represents the power team and wins Hartford.
Yeah, they've had a pretty good year for themselves.
Yeah, and then the state championship too. And that's still a feather in your cap, man. That's a good one to get.
How about, I
didn't ask you this beforehand. How many times have you had the opportunity to run in Syracuse? This was your first time, right?
This is my very first time. I could have went down last year, but I was in college still, so I couldn't miss one of the first days of college, so I didn't get the chance to go down last year. But this is the very first year I've ever been, and I heard you guys talking about how the state fair has gone down a little bit, you know, and cars, and that's the first thing Jamie told me, because he went when there were 70, 80 cars, and he's like, everything was all, you know, good stuff. You had all your mid GMs and your Chryslers and all that, and I was like, oh, I wish I could run then too. But
yeah, it was like I said, it was an incredible show back then. I mean, there was, in a couple of years, Dirt ran it, and the Wagons and the Imperials ran, and that was even better. I mean, I can remember like it was yesterday watching Jesse Howe in a green Mopar wagon, and he got down to like second or third, and I just, you know, I can remember watching it. That might have been one of the first years I actually went and watched that show.
Well, the first year I went, I remember back was like 97 or 98. There was 123 cars. Mm-hmm. Jesse Howell ran a car that was painted up like a football. He got down to, I think, fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
You know, that was 2 years before he won or whatever. But I remember 100 and some odd cars up there. My buddy Steve, rest his soul, we went, you know, and that day when we seen 100 some cars, they were running heats of 30-plus cars, and we're like, I got to get there. You know, I got to get there.
And that's the thing, too, is that's Onondaga County's home fair. So, I mean, right. They run heats beforehand, and then, you know, the Onondaga cars are added to the feature. So, I mean, they, you know, that's what we always thought, is it'd be neat to go up there and run heats and then go into the feature. But, you know,
it's a disadvantage, but it's also an advantage.
You could bring a fresh car. I mean,
yeah.
You could use a fresh car. So
I've seen they're doing the same thing now with compacts. You know, now that they're running. They run like a consolation for compacts of the figure eight cars.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So what they're doing now is they're running whatever you can with the consolation cars. You bring a 4-cylinder. It doesn't even need to be a figure eight car. You can just run it in a figure or a compact format, just like a V8, and qualify for the championship to run with the 4-cylinder championship. So that's an Onondaga County 4-cylinder qualified.
I wonder how the Charettes did, because Howie won Canandaigua and his son won Waterloo. Yep. Howie told me after Canandaigua that they were going to go to Syracuse.
Yep, I spoke with Howie. He did really good in the figure eight race. He was doing really well until his car broke. And then they let him go back to the feature because he was fourth or something, first two cars or whatever.
Yeah.
They had one heck of a collision driver's side door. Neither car ran, so Howard got his car running, and he was allowed back out there in the feature. I think he finished third or fourth. And then,
I know they were going up to run the Derby, too, though, because they won. His son won Waterloo's compact.
Yeah.
Kevin won Saturday night, and then Howie won. Howie put on a great show winning the compact.
Did a great
show
job.
At Canandaigua.
Yep.
He was wrecking stuff.
Did just fine.
Yep, good people. Yeah. I've met them.
Howie's a really good guy.
I've met them the last 4 years. I've been there. I talk to Howie every time I go. He's one of the nicest guys you ever meet. They go beyond crazy. I think they did really well last year, too.
Yeah.
I think last year was runner-up or something, but I don't remember.
Yeah. I'll talk to Kyle. I like him and Howie real close. He used to work together. But
Austin, is this it for your year? Are you all done, or you got another derby on the schedule still?
We have one more derby Chris Moussa.
That's a logging on
his
right?
own, and it's just like a run what you bring type show, and that's just for fun, and everybody goes. There's no money or nothing, but
that's a pig roast, and a derby breaks out.
For you, and all you do is eat and smash cars, and it's a blast.
It starts at 1 o'clock. It ends at 1 a.m.
That sounds like
it's only
fun.
Because they can't get anything to run anymore.
It starts at noon, and you go until nobody's cars run, pretty much.
Does sound like fun.
It's all day.
Sounds awesome.
And that's
old day derbying.
Is that coming up? It's coming up in just a couple weeks, isn't it?
Yep, it's the 20th of September.
20th. Yep. Well, good luck up there. Be safe, and we look forward to a successful 2015 for you too. Keep in touch. We'd like to know what you're building, what you're working on.
Yep. Thanks for having me, guys.
Is there anybody before we let you go? Anybody that you want to make mention of or say thanks to? Help keep the cars out on the track.
I just want to say thanks to all the guys at the Power Team, Jamie, and then I want to say thanks to Scott Cook, his Tough Stuff Derby Parts. His parts are great, and he's a great guy. So
we like Scott Cook too.
Yeah, Scott's been down here with us.
Scott's been here on the show before. He came all the way down from up there in Waterford to be on the show live.
Yep.
Yeah.
Excellent, man. Well, hey, I appreciate it. And again, good luck up there and be safe.
Yep. Thanks.
Thanks, man. There goes Austin Martin.
Yeah, I know.
Winner of the New York State Fair. Good for him. He's a good kid.
After Labor Day, we had kind of a chat amongst people on Facebook, and there's a lot of guys that would like to see that changed up there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, because I would like to have, all the, more successful drivers and builders come to
that. You can't get, but I mean, you're asking for the fair, in their opinion, to change something that's not broken. Yeah. I mean, it's still
as long as it makes a profit. Show. Yeah, as long as it makes a profit.
The bottom line, that's the only way that you can affect it is to hit the bottom line.
And that's, that's another thing Joker said is, if they had a derby 1 year and nobody showed up, no cars showed up, then it would get the point across.
I don't think that would ever happen, though. You got a lot of young guys coming up in the sport that want to go like I did.
I agree with what guy's saying. I don't think that you'd ever – I don't know if you could ever make enough – I don't know if you could make enough
of
a dent. You'd
make the guys that know what they're doing not come, but the guys that want to be somebody are going to go no matter what. They want to
– the
that's a stepping stone. For me, not to be mean or call anybody out, about 10 years ago – that's all I dreamed about was going to state fair.
Oh, absolutely!
Now you sit home and dream about going to Ohio or Virginia.
Yeah, but I'm eventually, maybe someday I will. But right now I can't do that. I wish I could. Wish I had the money to burn.
And I think for the guys that run the
by the way, we got a Virginia show coming up in October. I forgot to tell you.
Okay. for a lot of the old iron, for a better term, guys.
Sean Gokenauer said, be there, perish.
State Fair used to be that. Everybody wanted to go to the State Fair.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a coveted, it was just winning Syracuse was like winning Syracuse and racing. I mean, that meant something.
No
and
question.
Now, it just doesn't.
I think, honestly, it still does mean something. It just means something to the younger crowd. You know what I mean? Like the guys that want to run with, we'll say the big guys, Jeremy Goley, Brett Relier, Richie Predmore, guys like that, people want to run with those guys, so they feel their next step is state fair. It doesn't matter if the cars are stock. It doesn't matter if you can
right,
do this
but
or
what
that.
I'm, but my thing is, though, is you got to get those guys back there before.
Well, you need to step down to the veterans to let the newcomers come out. You know what I mean? You let I'm being honest. I'm not trying to be mean. I got a lot of guys that follow me. Mm-hmm. I have at least 10 to 15 guys that are young. They've started the last 2 to 3 years. And the only way they're going to have any chance at all is, you can send them out there against guys that's been running 10 years, but they're going to get junked. And if they get junked year after year, honestly, they're going to quit because they're not going to have a chance. But then you let them run
against... That's what's wrong with society today, because I got junked for a lot of years, and I kept going.
Me too.
Brett Relier got junked for a lot of years, and he turned that around.
That didn't happen.
I got junked. I still get junked, but the only reason I come back is it makes people more mad that I'm there than it is if I win.
Not giving them the satisfaction of quitting.
Yeah, I'm not going to quit just because of five people won't attack me.
I think on this conversation here, I think I would have more supporters that would like to see the fair...
The veterans, I think veterans will follow you 100%, but the new guys will not. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm really going to keep repeating myself. I know this.
Oh, no, it's not being mean. It's just your opinion. But honestly,
at this point, it's really an ageless debate. I mean, that's the end of the discussion. Is guy's got a point.
I mean, old school.
Guy has a point. And you actually made his point, because the way that everybody is today, everybody has to get a gold star. So if you don't give these guys someplace to run where they're actually going to find some sort of success, where they're going to have a chance, they are going to get out of it, because if you're not a success overnight, then they don't want to do it anymore.
And if you're going to spend $5,000 or $3,000 to get
junk. They call that the pussification of America.
Sorry, I'm sore. But if you're going to spend $3,000 to $5,000 to get junk two or three times. I'm just saying, if you're going to spend $15,000 and you're going to get junked after three or four shows, right. I'm sorry, but you're not going to want to run.
I ran four times this year. I didn't spend $15,000.
I'm just saying, some of the guys that run in our class around our area that run really good cars, even compact cars, I don't care who you're kidding, some of these guys are putting $600 to $800 into a compact car. I know they are, and they're sitting there telling me, "Oh no, I only got $300."
Right? Well, you gotta. I mean, if you know, you're paying $400 for a compact car because that's scrap price.
I run $200 car, and I beat cars that have $600 in them. So you know, I'm not trying to knock anybody down. It's my own opinion. But I'm thinking that there should be, and this boils back to the last show I was on or previous show, that there is enough room for two classes. I'm sorry, but there is enough room for a compact class that's stock, and there's enough room for a V8 class that's stock. And then you run a V8.
But the thing is, though, is like the changes that most people would want to see, it's not like a full weld show. I think guys would like be able to weld their car, weld their doors, bolt their hoods down.
You know, yeah, move a battery. I understand
move
all
a
that.
Battery, move a gas tank. I don't think that's too much.
Yeah, but people running full cages and compacts, complete welding around doors and
why wouldn't everything. You? I think every compact should have a cage in it.
Yeah, a complete like 8-point cage, that's completely absolutely. Unreal. Absolutely. That car's made to collapse stock. Right.
Except the rear tires end up in the back seat, as we've seen before at Metal or
Yeah, and it's a debate, and you go to the Winter show, Slam. And it's half the crowd wants to see stuff bend. Half the crowd wants to see a guy that has no trunk dragging that around. They don't want to see two cars out there just bumping around.
Right,
they don't want to see people put somebody on the wall just because.
I agree with Guy. People like to see stuff get destroyed.
I agree also, but you also have to have some driver safety in there.
Yeah, seat bar door to door, but four cage, you don't need that. That's why there's already a bar and a dash in the compact.
That's one of
car.
The biggest criticisms that some of the folks that have run out of state that have come here and run, and they said that one of the biggest criticisms of New York is that everybody likes to hit in the cage, and that's why the noses stand up so fast. If you just pick your shots and hit wheels, tires, axles,
it doesn't matter what your car's
going to last. It's going to last longer because it's a softer impact. You're not hitting the cage.
Well, I mean that's. I mean
anyway. I mean the thing is at the end of this, I had good news about compacts that I was. Glad that Guy was going to be able to be here for, but we ended up getting off. And we can. I mean, if I don't get Justin on the line, then we'll just then we can just turn around and we can come back to this. But I talked to the folks at Bash for Cash today. Smash it, Bash for Cash.
Why don't we coordinate? I got one of those shirts.
Well, because people think it's weird when we coordinate like that.
Not for nothing, but the last couple times we were all on together, and you and Josh had the same shirts on. That was a little strange.
Josh gets mad when I message him in the morning what shirt he's wearing. Anyway, but Bash for Cash has Derby Tees back. They have DerbyParts.com back. DEC Headers is back. They're going to be paying some pretty crazy money for some of the underclasses. They're increasing the purses. And officially, the compact division is going to pay a minimum of $3,000 this year. They're trying to put it together so that they can push that winner share even higher by thousands. Which is fantastic. I mean, you want to talk about...
There's going to be 500 compact cars
by itself.
You have like 5-ton compact car.
Yeah, and they're doing the same compact rules that they had for their main class last year. The rules and everything are going to be out after their last show. They still have four shows to go. They're not done until, like, I think, the 11th of October. So okay. Their rules aren't going to come out and what the format's going to be, but they're wrestling with the fact that if they have a situation where they can't necessarily cap it because you've got such serious money out there, or you make the entry fee so high and then you just pour that money back into it in the other side, or do you do heats?
Well,
if you do heats, you don't have any room to do them. You've already got a full weekend, and you can't do it Friday because then you would need a separate officiating staff on track while they still did the inspection for the full-size cars.
And not only that is, I mean, they don't really have time to do any more heats on Friday, because what did we start last year out there? 5 o'clock? And I think the last heat, we went on air at like 12:30 Friday night. They don't have... I mean, it's great. It's awesome that they do that as promoters.
But, I'm happy to see it.
But, I mean,
being a compact guy, I'm happy to see that compacts are actually starting to overtake big cars. They really are a lot of places.
And they're keeping their card. They're not changing the rest of it.
Yeah, no.
That's crazy.
I wouldn't say they're overtaking the big cars there, but...
Well, with that type of money for a four-cylinder compact car? They could find a car for $700 and you're going out for what? You said eight grand maybe?
How much?
Eight grand maybe?
No. The big cars pay 10 and 11 out there.
The big cars pay 10. They have two big car classes. They got the 80s newer class, which pays
11,
and then they got the old iron class that pays 10. And they're increasing this to a minimum of $3,000 to win.
So we're going to say roughly $5,000, half of V8s.
Well, yeah, I mean, because I'm going out on a limb here because this is, I mean, I've only got the confirmation of a minimum of $3,000. I assume there's going to be money for second and third. So yeah, I mean, you could probably argue that money's going to be pushing half of what the full size purses
would be.
But still, that's outstanding money for them.
That's awesome, especially when around here. I think the best show we've seen so far is like $1,500 for compact. And you know, I understand the whole you can build the crap out of the car. You know, I
what was that? What did Owego pay?
Owego this year paid $2,000.
You know, that's pretty good.
Brett
almost won that show.
with a Ford Taurus.
Yeah, that did almost happen.
My lord. He took second.
That rally guy, he's not a bad driver. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Bash. I'm looking forward to the first Bash in November, but then I'm looking forward to getting back to the one in Memorial Day weekend, too. That was a great time out there. I don't know, I mean...
Yes, by the way. If your question was, are we going, yes. It's one of the reasons why we were talking today.
I don't like to assume, but I assumed that we were going back there because I thought that was a great weekend for everybody out there. It was a good time. Fans, drivers.
Sounds awesome.
Dude, don't bring a car. Instead of taking the car off the road, leave the plates on it for an extra couple of days and drive it there. It's the fuel economy is there. You can bring Angus with you, and you guys can go out there, and you're not going to know what to do. I mean, you're going to be looking at the lawnmowers, and your jaw is going to be on the dirt.
Yeah, the lawnmower's tougher than my compact. Yeah, they were.
It really is. I mean, it is an awesome show, and that's next May. I mean, we have so much stuff still to do this year. We've got Weedsport Saturday. We've got the fall smash off thing that's going on Saturday in Morris, 2 o'clock start time.
Brookfield.
And there's so many cars that are still in that area that can come and be finished off. Then after that, we go to Lake Erie Rumble 3 with Dave Bongiovanni and everybody over there in Dunkirk at the Stock Running Fairgrounds.
I think Pete should take his Rivy out there and run the Imperials.
I don't know if they'd even let him run, to be honest. Really? I don't know if they would let him run.
That thing still looks tough.
Really? Tough.
Yeah, that car's well beyond what they're allowed there.
I thought they could build them pretty heavy out there.
Not like that heavy.
That's Pepsi's heavy.
I've offered Pete. He wants to know if the front end will bend, and I've offered to drive it for him. And
dude, that would be if he brought that there and they put him out there against the Imperials. They would mutiny. They would not. They would mutiny.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, I know there's a couple of people that listen to the show. Eric Remington, for one, he would sit back. Bring it. Do it. Bring it. Johnny Robinson, he's another one, and he would back up as far as he could, and he would meet him halfway across the track. We've got Hank Penzick, who would take an Imperial and run it into a brick wall if you said that he couldn't. So I mean, you know, there's plenty of guys out there that would welcome the car, but I don't know if they would let him run inspection wise. I mean, maybe it'd be great to see. If nothing else, the show would be fun in the inspection line. That's for sure. I would love that.
He's got to be getting, I mean, he's got to start building a...
five or six wins on this thing, and he hasn't even had a chance. He wants to kill this so he can take his stuff out.
I was going
to
say, he's got to be getting close to starting to build the Blizzard Bash car, because I know team Nerds near it's going back to Blizzard, or going to Blizzard Bash. Last I heard, they were.
Yep. I haven't heard any changes on that front.
So I would assume Pete's got to be building pretty quick, because those cars just don't fall. Well,
he was in Wisconsin not that long ago.
Yeah, I would just really assume after that trip that they'll be out there, because I'm sure they were team strategizing and sharing some tidbits and info, and
they're figuring out what creek to hide the frames in.
I can't believe you'd never heard of that. Ben and I talked about that 20 years ago. Putting creeks in frames, or frames in creeks. I mean,
I've heard it. I just didn't know people actually did it.
Oh yeah, yep. Yeah, that's an old trick. But yeah, I've noticed on Facebook about the last week that the Blizzard Bash talk is really starting to pick up. Everybody's really looking forward to going out there.
How can you not? Yeah, I mean, how can you not? I got sidetracked here juggling all these plates on sticks. But after Dunkirk, we got Wheel Days. Then after that, October 11th, Jason Shipes got his show at Woodstock, Virginia. They got a 3,000-win show at the Shenandoah County Fairgrounds, where hopefully all the motor problems and stuff are put to bed, and Sean Gokenauer is going to have his car back out. And then,
did Sean win or run here a couple weeks ago?
No.
Still had motor issues?
It wasn't ready. It wasn't right, so he didn't bother. So he saved that, knowing that this other show was coming up anyway.
That's cool.
And then New Alex Lions Club, which, oh yeah, I got to talk to you about New Alex Lions Club in October. Their season-ending point stuff is in October, and then we come back up here for Fulton, which is a show that if you got anything left, guy, you should probably think about going up and running. Fulton Speedway, it's late in the year, and they've got a decent set of rules for the compact guys. I mean, that's some place.
Yeah, that's a John King show.
Yeah. Yeah, but definitely.
I run John King before.
Yep, it's at Fulton.
New Alex, isn't that hometown from the Siopas?
That's Siopas' backyard. Yeah, yeah. That's their season-ending bash. That's where everybody tries to get together for the championship night. So
that's cool.
Todd suggested that we go down there, and like everything that Todd tells me, I said, "Yes, sir, Mr. Siopas, sir."
Todd took extremely awesome care of us at Bash for Cash.
Yeah,
and
I got news for him. We're gonna have to do that again.
That was awesome.
I told Tim to smash it. I said, "Hold on, I gotta make some phone calls before I can tell you for sure."
Yeah, we were very well taken care of, but it was great. I mean, to meet the people that we did out there, and talk to so many people.
When was the last time you sat on a trailer with Troy Tagg?
Yeah, no kidding. How about the Cali King? I see his son won or ran this weekend, but I don't know if Troy did or not.
Troy had planned on trying to finish that off, but yeah. I have not come back to him. We got a little bit of stuff, actually, that I want to try and show up here with the magazine on the topic of Troy. Troy is going to have a column in the next issue of Derby Inc. magazine, which is due out in a couple weeks. I said, you know, what would be nice is if you did a how-to, like if there's any car that you really knew a lot about and you wanted to write a column about it, like, I don't know, Cadillacs. And he said, yeah, I would do it. That actually sounds like a lot of fun. So he's got some downtime this week. He's gonna put something together. Derby Inc. magazine is evolving. We got some changes that are going on. We're going to start leaving the results and current event type topics to the podcast, and instead try and branch out and do some more how-tos and some notes. I talked to Brent Johnson at Redline Engine, and he's going to do a piece on cherry red stacks are cool, but let me tell you why you're wrong, kind of thing, and maybe do a little bit of how to tune by ear or get away from the tune by ear and things like that. Josh Buell is going to have a column on common build mistakes, and we're going to try and do a little bit more features, driver profiles, and some introspective stuff on with that. And I'm going to try to expand it. It's going to be smaller, a little bit more condensed issues, and they're going to be bi-monthly, so you're looking at six a year.
Wow, that's cool.
Maybe. It's going to be a heck of an undertaking, but I'm looking at what we've got here.
Now, are you going bald, or are you getting gray from
this? No. Right. No, because if... I'm kind of thinking that if we can get these other contributors and stuff, it's going to take some of the burden. Yeah, I'm not going to have to do all the writing. I can just edit this stuff together. This coming issue has a piece by Scott Brown that I was working with him on. It's got some reflection on the Buffalo Stampede, the team derby that they had out there at the Erie County Fair, and that has gone over so well that JM has approached Scott about trying to somehow make that team aspect. Don't know who's going to be able to be involved, but going to try and, you know, have that as part of it, and you get some of Scott's thoughts and position on putting a show like that together, which I'm sure was no small task.
No, there was a lot of there's a lot of logistics that went into that.
Yep.
Now that Brockway guy that won that, he's not a bad driver. He did okay up there, I guess.
He did okay. I talked with him and he goes, "Dude, you have no idea." I go, What do you mean? He goes, "That was the hardest car I've ever built." I said, I don't understand. And he goes, "Do you realize that's the first car that I've ever built that never even had the body off the frame? And just you never had to change a body mount, and it's just that's such a jarring thing to think about, because you look at how skilled of a driver Bobby is, and those guys were all good drivers that were out there.
Oh yeah,
there's a lot of local good drivers. And the local guys were able to go and compete against these professional drivers at this mutual level. The local builders came up a little bit, and their cars were good vehicles, and then the pros came down to this stock plane, so to say, and they still had good bumpers on the front, and Ryan Durham stood the front of his. I mean, we talked with Scott about this when he was on the show, and he made that thing go inside out in a hurry. Well, he didn't do it in a hurry. The car actually lasted pretty well, but it was pretty well jumped.
Well, I know when I talked to Bobby the last time before he built, and I'm pretty sure it stayed the same way, I said, you know, "What do you think?" And he goes, "Stock Ford." I said, "You'll be all right." I said, "Are you running the good motor?" He said, "Yeah, I'll have my guard in it." And I said, "Well, that'll probably go a long way, you know, helping you get to the win." And then I talked to him afterwards and congratulated him. He said thanks, and it was fun. And so I also wanted to mention that Todd Sciopa let Josh Tagg, who is a true American hero, a medic with the Rangers, run his car in that show. So that was a very cool move on Todd Sciopa's part.
Did you listen to that show?
No, that was when football practice was 5 nights a week, and
we had Tayo Sciopa on and talked to him about that.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I'm shouting it out to Todd. Todd, that was an awesome thing to do. Sorry.
I think we might be seeing one of the tags run again locally at Wheel Days.
Yes, I've heard that rumor also.
That rumor is gaining significant steam.
Yeah, I've offered on an off day to possibly go down and help a builder get a couple cars
ready. Yeah. Yeah.
If I can sneak down there and then sneak back in time to pick some kids up from school, I'm gonna try to do that.
You should.
Yeah, I'd like
then
to.
You can say that, then you can say that you're the reason why that car won.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
not.
Yeah, I could.
Maybe you
I
could.
I could.
I don't know Absolutely. If it's true, but you could certainly say.
I think you ought to run the Imperial.
I think so.
I think he ought to get the Imperial, and the other guy ought to run the other car.
Justin? Hey, man, can I put you in? Hang
on. Chris is taking care of all the technical stuff over in the corner.
I am, and it's working.
I am, and it is working. We've got Justin. I didn't know if we were going to be able to catch up with you tonight. I'm glad the phone started to work.
Yeah, I heard it's pretty bad out here.
That's all right. But, I mean, congratulations. The Geauga County Fair, am I saying that right? Geauga?
Yeah, Geauga County.
Geauga County Fair in Ohio with the compact division. You ran a Cavalier. How was your run? And tell me a little bit more about it.
It was a pretty good run. It was no means the biggest derby I've run before. Wasn't a slow derby by any means. There's a lot of young guys that were in it, pretty dry tracked, and didn't know any better but then just hold it to the floor the whole time.
They're the fun ones to watch.
Guy's eyes just lit up.
Pretty run car there.
But I mean, you know, things ended up mapping out all right for it. It was a case where you just let them take each other out and you just stayed out of the way?
A little bit of both. They were kind of a little rambunctious towards the end of the track, so I just kind of put a bumper to them, kind of held them up on a wall or into another car a little bit.
Sometimes you just got to outdrive those young guys.
Yeah, do whatever you can to slow them up.
Pretty beat up. It was. It's already been run. It was in a derby 2 weeks prior to that. It got a fifth out of 37 compacts in a class.
Whew.
I won a ton. And then we took it up here, and surprisingly, it did pretty well compared to the fact it was only pre-run, and everything there was brand new cars.
Wow.
And run.
You like those Cavaliers?
Oh, yes.
I love them. Absolutely love them. Motors are amazing. They take a lot of heat.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, we were talking about that a little bit earlier, how that is so important with those small cars.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because once they start losing power, they don't have the extra oomph that a full size older car does. But I mean, we saw that at Black Rock when Jeremy's motor got hot. It got hot and was done like 30 seconds later.
Yep.
And I mean, he had a real shot of winning that.
When you look at your compact menu, I mean, do you try and pick and choose places that are sort of hedging towards the new style compacts, or have you run some of the old stuff too? I mean, we've seen some real nasty Mustangs, we've seen some nasty
Camaros.
Camaros. Yeah, the Camaros too. And some nasty AMCs. Gremlins. You know, what is the new style compact your wheelhouse?
I've run a little bit of both. I like the motors in the older style a little bit better. The newer style, you can do a lot more with. It's kind of don't really have a choice but to catch on. I'm in an area that's generally a smash it area, so
mm-hmm.
A lot of hard cars in the area. A lot of Luminas.
Those are some good dudes. The smash it rules. That's, you can do some fun stuff with your cars there.
And since they have half of the fairs in Ohio, it's hard to not be in their area, I would say.
They probably have four within 20 minutes of me.
Yeah, that's close.
What's your take on their announcement that came out today? 3,000 to win minimum for the compacts at Bash for Cash.
I've always wanted to run a compact down at Bash for Cash. It's about 3 hours south of me, and just never actually did it. Just because the payout was a little low, kind of a low haul, a far haul. But now that I'm pretty interested in that kind of a payout for a compact.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. You are not kidding. That's awesome.
Brian's interested, and he doesn't even like compacts.
That's because I'm one of those Husky guys, and there's not a lot of room for Husky guys in compacts. I don't know if you've noticed or not.
I've noticed. Have you ever had the chance to run full-size stuff?
I've never run a full-size. I'd like to run a full-size. I actually would like to run a full-size truck, if anything.
That's the only thing I have not ran.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the full-size truck, too. I'm
interested in the mini trucks as well.
I've done the mini truck this year.
There's mini trucks at the Erie County Fair in Sandusky, and they also have full-size trucks there. And both of those divisions are crazy. And then we were up in Wadena, and they're developing this new, quote-unquote, this new truck division where it's only the trucks that have an arch in the frame. So it's essentially like an 80s and newer truck, but, I mean, some of those 60 trucks go, or some of the Chevy trucks go back into the 70s. And they're doing chain-and-go style rules with the trucks, and it's going to be... They're gonna annihilate some stuff with those.
Yeah,
that's coming up. They're doing that next year. But yeah, it didn't see it. I guess maybe it seems that maybe the trucks haven't picked up quite nearly as hard as the Crown Vics have in Ohio.
Correct. They had a little steam a couple of years ago, and it seemed like they've fallen off. And like you said, the Crown Vics in Ohio area are pretty crazy anymore.
I thought when we went to Bash this year, I thought the trucks put on a real good show. I mean,
I'm not saying that they don't put on a good show. I just don't. Yeah, say well, that they don't have the full.
They had a decent amount of trucks there. I mean, yeah. I think their class was full for the trucks.
But I mean, realistically, Brian, that's one night.
You look at the breadth
of a state in a derby season. Right. They just don't have. Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're bringing something, why not bring along a truck?
Seen trucks too. Yeah. About 4 years ago, trucks were taken off, and then 2 years in, they died off. And this year, Tioga brought back compact trucks, and we had almost 20 of them.
Well, it's like the junk run in our area. Kyle ran that junk run, and like the first 3 years, there was like 40 vehicles. And I mean, this year, I think there was more.
18, yeah. Something like that.
So, I mean, last year was kind of low, but this year was back on. But I mean, I think stuff like that is a good, it's a good class because I think there's more of them around. I mean, you know, they're
certainly around. They're available.
Your prototypical derby cars, you know, even for the compacts, I mean, you know, guys are all running that, but I mean, you know, there's Broncos laying around. There's Explorers. There's trucks.
And that's where I think Tioga took off with this year compact truck, because honestly, around our area, you see a lot of Blazers. You see a lot of Pathfinders, S10s. You see a lot of small trucks. Big trucks, they were around a little bit, but the price of them are worth more in scrap than they are for a derby truck. That's why they kind of died off. But it's cool. Like I said, Tioga, they started compact trucks this year. We had 20-plus trucks, and hopefully we can keep the compact trucks up there, you know. And even so, like I said, they're plentiful. They're everywhere.
Is it still fairly easy to find compact cars in your part of Ohio?
Not as easy as it used to be. I mean, this part of Ohio, we're a snowbelt area. Everything you find is rust. There's no frame rails under a lot of the stuff up here. I mean, you still, it's gotten to the point the last couple of years, for a decent compact, you're going to pay a good $500-$600 anymore for them. and it used to be $200, $100, sometimes free.
Wow. Justin, by the way, Justin came on as a member of the NDC, came away with the win. So that also another one of the things we had talked about in our messages as we were trading back and forth, getting ready to go for tonight. Have you got anything else on the schedule tonight? I mean, what else have you got on the schedule for this season? Are you going to run again?
I got one more show left. I'm going to get this one fixed. I'm going to actually take it down to Washington Courthouse for a Smash It Cleanup show in October.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice. That's
the yeah.
That's
where we run.
That's cool.
So now, once you find the way there, you're going to be able to just make it there in no time flat. Take a half hour off your travel time next May.
Yeah, it's the idea. Take the wife along. Hopefully, she'll be convinced next spring to go down there.
I'm sure she hears the chance at that $3,000. She would be okay with that, because you know, if she's like my wife, she's not the hugest Derby fan, but if I win and make a little money, she seems to enjoy it more. So. You know, that sometimes that's enticing enough.
I agree.
How many shows do you run a year?
I've run as little as one, up to three, maybe four a year. I don't run a lot. I'm just busy man, get a little one and all that. So it's just kind of, like I said, with being in the Smash It area, most of the compacts you build in this area, you're going to run them once, and they're pretty well toasted after that. Well, there's not much left of them.
That's for sure. I mean, with those Smash It rules that they've got for pretty much every division that they put on the table, you've got cars that are going to be wore out in one night.
Yeah.
I'm glad we were able to connect. I mean, thanks for calling back once you got a signal there. But unfortunately, we are just about out of time. Is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of here real quick before we let you go?
Yeah, I want to thank my buddy Zach. He spent about two nights here at my house helping me get this car ready after the last run. My buddy Steve helped me a lot there in the Derby, and I want to thank my wife for letting me do it. Let me get away with a lot of stuff there. And my sponsor, Jaybird Landscaping, who's a new sponsor, came on this year. The little guy owns a little landscaping company, came on and did some big things with him this year with that car.
Does he let you park your car on any of the lawns when he's working as a calling card so everybody knows?
No, but I told him I could help him remove some topsoil with it.
Turned it into a grader. Nice. Well, hey, Justin, man, I appreciate you coming on the show and glad we were able to connect. Good talking with you, and we wish you the best here coming up in next month.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, dude.
That's it.
We'll see you next time. Justin Adelman, NDC driver. Winner of the compacts at Geauga County in Ohio. Ran a 95 Cavalier, and he turned it into a topsoil mover for his local local landscaping sponsor. Guy Raymond, you know, thanks for coming up. Hope you had a good time.
Yeah, I had plenty, always.
Hope the conversation was good, and you are now enticed to drag a car to Ohio. Mm-hmm. Maybe. maybe not. No?
Someday.
By then it'll be 10,000 to win.
maybe 15.
And congratulations again on the football win.
Thank you. It's good. It was. I was happy to see the kids' faces at the end of the day.
And now I got to let you go because you're waiting for the Giants kickoff.
Yeah, except I don't think the Giants are going to be very good this year.
Nope, and that's why I have Detroit's defense starting up.
Yeah, I'm predicting like a 4-12 season. It's when Ryan Nassib looks better than Eli Manning, it's got me not feeling well about my Giants. But what can you do?
They did go 4-0 with the preseason.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's because their second and third teamers were better than the other team's second and third teamers. That doesn't make me feel any better.
We'll see.
Good to be back.
At least they're not the Cowboys.
Oh, don't go there. I'm not going there.
Good to be back.
They had a rough day, didn't they?
Yeah, it was great. Anybody that beats the Cowboys, I like.
Well, you're a 49ers fan today.
Yes, I am.
Because you're not going to have much else to root for, buddy.
No. No, you're right. You're right.
All right, guys. I think that's going to do it for us. We appreciate you tuning in. You know, thanks a lot for listening tonight for Justin Edelman and our buddy Austin Martin there. Congratulations on your wins. We're going to be back here next Monday. I don't think that we've really got anything else. Make sure you go support the shows this weekend. Morris, 2 o'clock start time. It's a Total Destruction show. Cleanup show. So there's going to be tons of stuff there. So if you've got anything left over, make sure you bring it out. It's going to do it for us. We'll see you next week.